Everybody, get up! Everybody needs to understand that I'm more than simply a hype man for this rap group. Just like GEICO is more than just a company that can save you money. GEICO also has fast and friendly claim service, so they can help you when you need it most. And while I do love being a hype man, I also love reading for children's audiobooks. Like Little Bo Peep, she lost the sheep, and she don't know where to find them. Go!
GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakening in Austin, the radio show designed to magnify the message of spiritual, metaphysical, and holistic practitioners serving Austin and beyond. We introduce you, the listener, to an amazing array of people who can help you through these rapidly changing times. I'm Sarah Blumenfeld of HigherSelfEnterprises.com, host and producer of this show, as well as a spiritual intuitive coach. Awakening in Austin broadcasts live at 8 p.m. Central Time. Our regular interview shows are on Tuesday and Thursday each week, and we often have other bonus shows as well. I invite you to join our Facebook group, Awakening in Austin, so you can be notified of our upcoming guests. All shows are archived, so you can listen to the replays right here at awakeninginaustin.com at your convenience. Many thanks to our sponsor, the New Era Times, at tnetimes.com, an online newspaper for the dawning of a new era, presenting innovative ideas for those seeking evolving consciousness. If you would like to be interviewed or would like to suggest someone to be interviewed, email me at awakeninginaustin@gmail.com. My guest today is Max Christensen. His website is primordialalchemist.com. Matt has dedicated his life to studying, understanding, and bringing forth a wealth of traditional, spiritual, and esoteric practices from around the world. It is from his travels, diverse experiences, and in-depth studies that Max draws on and presents time-tested esoteric root practices through his Kunlun, K-U-N-L-U-N. I didn't say that right, did I? say it for me, Max.
Kunlun. Kunlun.
Okay.
Yes.
His Kunlun system. Max believes you are the beginning and the end of the path that you alone choose. Your mind dictates how you awaken, where your path takes you, and what you may attain in this lifetime. Welcome, Max.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for inviting me to your show.
Oh, you're welcome. I saw the announcement in the Austin Alchemist that you're coming to Austin at the end of September for a workshop, and so I wanted to get you on the show and let our Austin audience know all about what you're offering. And so
Thank you. Audience
can get to know you for a little bit. Would you share a little about your spiritual journey?
Okay, well, my journey started actually when I was about 6 years old, and I've had Taoist masters from Wudangshan, which is a mountain in Hebei province, to my life. I've had various other Taoist masters from the Shangqing tradition. I was a Tibetan Lama in Nyingma for a period of time, out of a temple in Nepal. Navajo and Apache tradition, I spent a little time with Red Willow Society in Taos, New Mexico. And most of my traditional training was also Mongolian shamanism.
Okay. So I understand that from all of this study that you've been doing, you have developed your own system. So what is the Kunlun system, and what does the name Kunlun mean?
Well, Kunlun system means, Kunlun itself means many, many things. Example, in Chinese, it means the mountain of the immortals, means the path of no more learning, also means the pineal gland. And also it was a form of internal alchemy that was utilized through breath control in order to awaken the body of light, what we call in Taoism the diamond body, or in Tibet the returnable rainbow body, or in Indonesia moksha, or body of light.
Okay, and so what is the system about?
Well, the system, the system is to allow the average person who never has a chance to actually go out to temples or to travel in the Middle East or Mid East or via Himalayas, to find a way of self-awakening, to free themselves of the dogma in a lot of system. And in the Kunlun system, we are told, and my masters have told me, that all knowledge from our ancients, from the old ones, is within ourselves. And that if we look inside ourselves and we have the right root practice, this will allow us to open up freely, easily, without surrendering anything in the mundane life. It doesn't mean that you don't have to follow anybody, because nature is your best teacher. And so Kunlun allows a person to progress to this body of light while they're still in a physical body, and based on their own time, how much they need to release physically or mentally, it can be a very effortless process. And the end result, again, is what we call in my system the gold dragon body, which means a person who can change the body into their original state and then back into physical matter while still alive in a physical body.
Well, that sounds pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the thing is, it's extremely simple to learn. It doesn't require vast knowledge of any other system. It just requires one to be open-minded, free of a scholarly mind, to feel more playful, more childlike with nature. And this is the great secret I learned from my teachers. If one is like a scholar, one does techniques and breathing, very rigid, the person can't really get his full awakening. And so like in some traditions, they say, let the body go, let your emotions go. But in our ways, we embrace our emotions because that what makes you a unique individual. And embracing the body because you need that to evolve. And we always say that you're perfect in your natural state, that you're already awake, you just have to be aware of what's already there.
Oh, nice. That's very cool. Well, I know a lot of people study a lot of things and don't go ahead and create a system out of it. What prompted you to create this system of self-awakening?
Well, when I went through different traditions throughout my life, and I've traveled through Himalaya and China, Japan, I have found that a lot of the old masters had died of their knowledge. The root practice, what really made it work? And so I spent many, many years looking, did retreats in the mountains, for 2 or 3 years on the mountain. And then I took apart everything my teachers taught me. And then I found that they all had one specific root, a specific practice that they all had in common. And I found those in old pictographs of, say, the Essene tradition. The Karmakagyu, the highest lamas, would practice a specific posture. In the Taoism, in the highest levels of internal cultivation, alchemy, they had a specific posture. And it wasn't an adding on of anything. It was a complete surrendering of their knowledge mentally. It was a complete letting go of everything that holds them in place as a natural human being. How our thoughts are, how our belief system are. And then what happens is that when we release all these things, they call it kind of naked awareness, all of a sudden this light appears in front of you. And the heart is filled with ecstatic bliss. And I found from a lot of my friends, sicknesses that were inside them that could not be helped, is that these people started to cure themselves without the need of anybody when they really progressed into the practice of Kunlun.
So how is your system different from other methods of awakening?
Well, on Earth, in general, all the mystery schools work on a fire path direction, which means that usually they try to awaken the dormant potential, you may call Kundalini, bringing on the fire from the tailbone through a chakra system or the dantians, as the Taoists would say, until it reached the top of the head. And so that, or they call the microcosmic flow in Taoism. The energy went up the spine and then down the front. And so I thought, well, my teachers say in the highest practices is the opposite, the water path, the ones that come down from the head through the body, but they don't go through meridians. They don't really go through dantians or energy centers. And what happens, it flows into the body. And what happens, it cools the fire before it arises. We call the steaming process. Because I noticed a lot of people who rose to the fire, they became ungrounded or they had physical sickness later on, is because they never cooled that kundalini fire, for a better word. And so that fire was the consuming fire. And so when I found about the water path, well, then my teacher said, well, the great secret of Tao is that people who, normal, mundane human beings, the energy goes up the spine and down the front, the microcosmic flow. But in the alchemy of the ancient ones, the Xians or the immortals, they did what was called reversing the water wheel. And what this was sending the energy up the front of the body and down the spine on the inside, also known as the secret of the gold flower.
Okay. And so how does that help people? How is that better?
Well, the first thing people notice is that in our practices, say at the first level of Kunlun, is the body starts to shake off the dross, the rough parts of the mind. The limitations or energy blockages within the body are shooken off when the mind gets out of the way. And then the second thing that people notice is that the glands, the kidneys specifically, when we get older, get weak, it starts to regenerate. And why this is so important is between the kidneys, there's an acupuncture point called Ming Men, the gate of life. Think of it as a biological timer. And every time our heart beats, that timer shuts down little by little. And so that energy of the kidneys doesn't nourish the other organs, you know, less and less as we get older. And that's why we start to dim, why our backs start to round and our eyes start to weaken. And so the Taoist, in our practice, it nourishes the kidneys and reopens the Ming Men. That's what we call it, an immortal practice. And then from there, the adrenal glands and the thyroid glands, the pineal and the pituitary start to regenerate. So a lot of people, their gray hair turns black. A lot of people, the muscle tone starts to come firm again. An outgoing, wonderful feeling for life starts to occur.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I can't, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
But you know what I'm saying is a lot of the arts that I learned from my teachers was so complex. And if you're in a temple as a monk, that's fine. But we as normal human beings on the West, we have to take care of family. We have to work, you know, and, you know, the usual mundane thing. So this art is very good for a person who doesn't have time, you know, 5 or 6 hours, you know, a day. This is for a person who's just, you know, he wants to evolve but doesn't have the necessary time. So this is perfect for that type of person also.
So in a given day, once you know the system, how much time would you spend doing the practice?
To give an example, for a beginner, usually I say, well, do it for about an hour. Put your favorite music on, like Kitaro, a Japanese composer, is very good. And why we say an hour in the beginning is because the average person's mind is very, very busy. And so their mind has to slow down. And then eventually this energy arises in them and starts to purify them. First their mind and their body, because a body is merely a reflection of the mind's positive and negative experiences. So if the mind resists, the body will change first. Then from here, as they get more used to it, instead of an hour, then it only takes maybe 20 minutes. And progressively as you train, to a point where just a mere thought, you can arise this energy in a moment.
Wow.
So we say the highest practice is one that no one can see you do.
I love that.
Yeah,
I
love about my teachers in China, and especially in Beijing, is that my men teachers were very, very stern, but the lady teachers I had were very compassionate, and they were laughing, you know. And you say, well, part of enlightenment, part of awakening, is to realize that there's a path. Then, when you're aware that there's a path, then you become awake later on, and then awakening leads to a form of enlightenment. But enlightenment, there are many, many forms, not just one. And they said the most important secret of the Taoist was, or the Buddhism, was to smile, a childlike nature, and to practice from the heart.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone wanted to learn your system, what are the requirements for doing that?
Well, the most important is to have an open mind, you know, a playful mind, because in our tradition, you know, it's we don't have to take a very stern monk attitude. It's realizing that you are a divine being right now. And when you realize that and you're not grasping for something to happen, then it comes. Because the moment we grasp, it moves away from us. And so,
right.
You know, I have my new book that was out, you know, The Kundalini System. And for those reason we rank this book is many people don't have the fortunate process or way of finding a person to learn from. So I decided to write this final book in a way is that those who are far out in the middle of nowhere or other countries would have a real root practice that really, really worked, that didn't take years and years and years. And, you know, and the Kundalini system, the book, it has everything you need to know for the basics of the system. You know, the postures, you know, if you want to learn the spirit traveling, the connection with nature, you know, the mindset, all of those things are very, very important. And then as you do this posture, your natural innate teacher, you know, the wisdom inside you in your very DNA that's hardwired will start to awaken and your body will respond. And on average, I've had people who were not scholarly, if they were just letting go with a blurry, playful attitude, within 20 minutes, they were having their body starting to awaken. But then you had the scholarly people, well, they'll just sit there until they learn to get their playful attitude. So once you let go, they surrender. The whole thing about Kunlun is surrender. Mm-hmm. To do without, as the Taoists say, to do without doing. In order to go forward, go back. In order to become full, become empty.
Can you give us an example of how the Kunlun system has made a difference in someone's life? I know you gave some kind of general things, but can you tell us a specific story?
Okay, well, let's say I had one of my students came walking in. This is in, I don't remember if it was L.A. or not, and he was a young man, I'd say about 24, I think 25, and two ladies had walked him in, and he had double crutches. And he couldn't even walk within 10 feet without collapsing. And and he couldn't even hold a water bottle up to his mouth. And he was very, very, you know, ill. And so he goes, well, I want to get well. I said, well, that's good. But there's no if and but or maybe, like we'd think in the West. It's do or do not. And so he sat down. We put him on a chair and took it in his canes he put to the side. Remember, this man couldn't even get up without assistance.
Mm-hmm.
And he started doing the practice. Approximately 15, 20 minutes later, after he started, legs started shaking and the body started shaking, he got very hot, he started laughing hysterically. Why? Because he realized that his mind, the reason his body was not working was his mind was holding things, you know, a resisting of things. And again, the body is merely a reflection of positive or negative experiences or fears, and fears are something you don't understand. In that moment, he laughed and the fear went away and it released automatically in his body. He was curing himself. And they stood up, they started walking, and next thing he was running all around the room.
Wow.
And I said the most important thing you must remember is never go back to your old mindset, because the body will remember and you want to go back to your old ways. So for the Westerner who's learning this, if he gets this change, and I've seen him, beautiful things happen to people, you know, besides getting their spiritual answers, their body was getting well. And the overabundance of this Kundalini energy goes to your blood. So if you're practicing and mom is sick or your daughter, because you're connected by blood, it jumps to them, the overabundance. So when you're practicing, you're helping your family, and we say you're helping seven generations forward and seven generations behind you. And
wow.
After that, he was wonderful, you know. And when I show in this example, what was kind of breaking my heart was when I was in Tibet and I knew a nun. And sometimes the nuns are not treated very nicely. You know, they sit in their own temple. They don't get the knowledge as other people do. So
mm-hmm.
One of my friends of mine who was a nun, she went over there and she taught the nuns in Burma the Kunlun. And all of a sudden the nuns were having amazing awakenings. And so this is really great, because anything you've done in your life spiritually, you've built the potential, but now you need the catalyst, the final step to open up the path. That's why I say it's the root of many systems. And I've seen the highest lamas have these things. I've seen it in pictograms of the, in the Essene school, like, say, Jesus holding a ball, or Atlas, Romans, the Greeks have the same posture in their old pictographs from history. And that's what the Quinlan posture is.
What, holding a ball?
Yeah, well, it's a way of holding the ball, but see, that's just, well, anybody can hold the ball, but it's the mindset. It's the alignment.
Right.
And when you have the proper alignment, is that the Tibetans say that when we say the drop going into the ocean of wisdom, they say when the drop, the head, when the mind drops into the heart through this channel called Katika, the channel of clarity, it's an energetic channel that connects the center of the brain, what the Taoists call Crystal Palace, with the heart. And that's when the say, emptiness and bliss merge and awakening occurs. And every tradition, the words are different, but the same energy channel is used from the heart and the head connecting.
Mm-hmm.
We call it the wish-fulfilling gem. You know, drop into the ocean of wisdom. It's called the elixir of immortality. It's the pearl that never dulls. You know, that's what you're actually awakening.
So you're coming to Austin on September 29th to do a class. So tell us about that class, and is it just the beginning of your system, or are you teaching the whole system? How does that work?
Okay, well, I started on the September 28th. I do a free lecture and book signing at the World Spirit Bookstore around 7:20 in the evening. Then on the 29th, I'll be doing a seminar teaching the basics. It's an all-day seminar from 10 a.m. to about 7:30, and it's at the Hyatt Regency in Lost Pine.
Okay, so how can our listeners get more information about those events?
Okay, well, if they go to our, me and Deanna, we have a website. It's called Primordial Alchemist, and if you look on the event page, you'll have all the events that's happening, you know, through the year also. Because I teach other classes too. You know, I teach very traditional things, you know. So the stuff that has been forgotten. And that's why my desire is to pass on to as many as I can. Because it's such a good thing, you know, for people who, you know, how you travel along and you get so frustrated and tired, goes, I try so many things, but what is the root? And so part of being a human being is the search. And eventually what happens? You get tired of looking, and then you let go. And then when you let go, they say, then the real thing comes to you because you're no longer grasping. So think about this. We're talking right now, is it by destiny or by choice? You know, so, you know, this is will allow many people to get their awakening. And it's very, again, very practical. You don't need any special equipment. You don't need to, you know, dress in robes or anything. You just have to have a really playful attitude, you know, and enjoy life. Because my teachers say this should be the first day in the rest of your life when you practice Kunlun.
Hmm. So is this now practiced all over the world?
Yes. Actually, I think we've been going for a little bit more than 4 years now. And I actually started teaching in Hawaii out of a garage, believe it or not. And in that period, from there to about 4 years, it spread through. We've had people in Russia, Japan, Hong Kong, China, Singapore, Finland, Italy, Germany, Norway, and Canada. You know, that's just to name a few that spread in just those few years.
Very good. Well, I ask you if you would be willing to teach our listeners something, and you mentioned the one breath. So would you tell us a little about that and then tell our listeners how they can use it?
Yes. Now, this is really good for a person who is seeking to calm themselves in a stressful time. Also, a lot of people, when they practice the body, the mind, and spirit, sometimes it doesn't unify together. Our minds usually are too busy when we go into practice and we're not calm. It's also very good for regulating the health, because when the mind is regulated through the breath, the body works perfectly. If the mind is upset, the breathing gets upset. And there's 800 variations of breathing based on inhale and exhale. And each of those breathings relate with the sickness. Because in your organs, there are positive states and negative states of the emotions. And so if I'm more negative, say, I'm angry a lot. Well, that relates with deliver element, which is a little bit like good. So anger is like fire. And so the liver gets overstimulated to a point that what happens is your kidneys, well, how do you get rid of a burning bush or burning tree? Is you put water on it. So that takes energy from your kidneys to calm that fire, but then you're draining your kidneys. You see? So that's called destructive elements. But if you do with the right state of mind when you practice, especially in this one breath, this will really regulate a lot of things in you. Glands, you know, you name it. So how it works, basically, is that a person, and normally in the West, we breathe from the chest, and that's what we call destructive breathing, because you get a lot of fire in the chest, and then the lower body gets cold. In a healthy person, the lower abdomen, we call Dan Tien, a Japanese called Hara, it's basically if you put your hand where your belly button was, and you can sit. This, you can sit and practice. You can lay down, say, if you want to go to bed, you can do this as falling asleep. Mm-hmm. The most important first thing is to smile, a very light smile. In all traditions, they say this. Why? It's because it cracks the crown. It opens up the tension in your crown. Because part of awakening is the sutures must be open. When we're born as a baby, the frontella, the top, is open. Then through life, it closes shut. And only at the moment of one's going to the other world, you know, it's like you finish your lesson on earth, it opens again. Mm-hmm. As above, so below. And so when we smile, that opens it. And all parts of awakening, the skull has to open, the sutures, for the divine potential to flow in and out. The next thing is simply looking over our nose, not at it, but simply over it, with our eyes two-thirds closed. You know, the hands are simply on your lap, or if you're laying down, they can be on your belly, whenever you feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. Now, the breathing is very simple. First, the tongue naturally touches behind the upper jaw of the teeth. Normally, when you sleep, it sits there. We call that the dragon pond. And what this does is connects the energy of the back of the body and the front together, the fire and water principles. And so the fire being the spine, and the front of the body being water, and so that's called the steaming process, like when you put water and fire together. That means a healthy energy is generated. Now, I put my mind, my awareness, very gently on my abdomen. The thing, if you're very scarly or a lot of thoughts, simply get a little sleepy first. Then I breathe into the nose. And try not to move your chest. If you're a chest breather, you could put one hand on your chest and one on your lower abdomen. Only the lower abdomen should move. Now, it might be a little tight for some people who haven't practiced, so don't push it out to a point where it hurts. Just a gentle stretch. Then you will naturally breathe out of the nose without effort. Let it empty of its own accord. Now, you're going to notice in the beginning that when you breathe in, only the front of your abdomen moves forward. But the most important thing is that when I breathe in and the chest is not moving, expand a little bit of your breath to the front of the stomach and then try to push a little bit to the sides where your ribs are and try to inflate the back where your kidneys would be. Much like if you had a beach ball in the center of the body and it was inflating and spreading out that abdomen. Why this is so important is because when you breathe in this way, the organs are pulled apart from each other, and each organ has its own rotation and movement. Now, if you're a chest breather like most are in the West, the organs stick together, and so they get adhered, and that's why we have health problems. So by breathing from the lower abdomen, we call it primordial breathing, what happens is that the abdomen will suddenly become nice and warm, and even the legs and then the spine. Then your heart will become calm like water, and your mind will naturally become empty. If you get a lot of thoughts, simply focus more on the breathing and let the thoughts go or the images that come in your head, let them go without control. Eventually, you only will get a single thought in your mind. You'll be very peaceful. So the breathing
okay, well,
in...
Max,
and breathing
out. Max, I'm going to have to stop you there because we're like under 60 seconds left. That was a great explanation, and thank you so much for being on the show. We appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for the opportunity.
You're very welcome. And thanks, everyone, for listening to Awakening in Austin. Remember, if you would like to be interviewed, suggest someone to be interviewed, or sponsor the show, email me at awakeninginaustin@gmail.com. This is Sarah Blumenfeld of HigherSelfEnterprises.com, wishing you an awakened day.
There is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to GEICO than saving you money, GEICO also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the GEICO app. And while I am a mighty elf queen, I am also a mighty big fan of barbecue potato chips. Minions! More smoky mesquite.
GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.